Today, I want to sort of explore together this realm, continuing a little bit from the thread of last week of listening sounds, interaction. How do we, as I named in the guided instructions, like how do we listen to ourselves? How do we listen to the world around us and locating ourselves? And can we do that through sound? This is a bit of an aside, but as I just said, that there was a story. I think I spoke of this years ago on the podcast, This American Life. And it was a story about a young boy who lost his sight when he was about two, maybe a little bit younger. And his mom was sort of like, okay, I'm still going to treat you as if you are sighted. And the boy learned how to echolocate. So he'd click to orient himself. And he would ride his bike around. And he would click to find his way as he rode his bike at top speed around town. And as the story unfolds, it speaks to experiments that were done in England with people who were not sighted, but they were presented something like a vase, and they would echolocate, and they could tell through the brain testing the picture of a vase would show up. I don't understand the science of it, but it was something miraculous that sort of what how we can use sound to locate ourselves. And this young boy grew into a man who's moved in the world as a sighted person, like the fluidity of movement, because he could echolocate around. And I hope I have explained that in a non-offensive way. But what I find remarkable and what made me think of it just now is just this idea of how do we allow ourselves to locate ourselves in space, in a place. And also our own relationship to silence and sound and musicality and music and song. And I know for myself, there are times a day I love the silence in the morning. I can go outside and sit sort of at the beginning of the day. I love it. 3 o'clock in the morning, I don't love it. Sort of my mind can really kick in then. And just in the rhythms of my own rhythms and the rhythms of the day when silence is that beautiful thing and when sometimes the reverberations can be so intense, it's unpleasant. Thinking of that from the 1964, that Simon and Garfunkel song, The Sound of Silence, of Hello, Darkness, My Old Friend. And then skipping down the sense of people talking without speaking, people hearing without listening. And again, this, how can we lean into the sense door of sound and listening as a way of attuning ourselves to ourselves and to those around us? And this practice of mindfulness, which is really cultivating our ability to sit with, make space for that, those unpleasant things, the sounds, how we respond, the narratives of our minds, different stories we tell ourselves, how we interact with others, people say things, how we take that sound in, meanings we can place on what someone says. And again, where can we develop the skills to cultivate the ability to listen wholeheartedly without a lot of layering of our own conditioning that we can do, if that makes sense. So I want to share this poem from William Barry, no, Wendell Berry, sorry, How to Be a Poet. And in parentheses to remind myself, make a place to sit down, be quiet. You must depend upon affection, reading, knowledge, skill, more of each than you have. Inspiration, work, growing older, patience, for patience joins time to eternity. Any readers who like your work doubt their judgment. Breathe with unconditional breath, the unconditioned air. Shun electric wire. Communicate slowly. Live a three-dimensional life. Stay away from screens. Stay away from anything that obscures the place it is in. There are no unsacred places. There are only sacred places and desecrated places. Accept what comes from silence. Make the best you can of it. Of the little words that come out of silence like prayers prayed back to the one who prays. Make a poem that does not disturb the silence from which it came. And this invitation, How to Be a Poet, and one of my favorite poems, and certainly is oft quoted in the Dharma world of Mary Oliver, who's so moved in the world of being able to listen and attune herself to the natural world. And again, I want to include ourselves also in this listening, because I don't know about you all, or you, but I know myself, there have been times when I knew something, like, don't do this, and then I go ahead and do it because I didn't heed that voice, that inner voice, whether it's the gut intuition or whatever it is, that we ignore that at our own peril. And it takes a while of ignoring it to be like, wait, don't do that. How do we trust ourselves? Which many of us were not taught to do. It is not a class that we take in school or any school that I've attended. I've attended a lot. It's not something that we're generally engendering in our kids to be able to even know, how do we trust ourselves? How do we listen? Right? And in the beginning, I almost always have that arriving sit of like, how's the body? Can we listen to the heart, to the sensations of the heart, attuning ourselves to the sensations of our body, the gut response, the clenching, something is amiss. Pay attention here. But we can be, some of us be so conditioned to override that and just keep going. And in so doing, we miss the musicality of our own experience. I'm gonna share another poem. Yay, I'm so happy when it works out. It's by William Stafford, A Ritual We Read to Each Other. If you don't know the kind of person I am, and I don't know the kind of person you are, a pattern that others made may prevail in the world, and following the wrong God home, we may miss our star. For there is many a small betrayal in the mind, a shrug that lets the fragile sequence break, sending with shouts the horrible errors of childhood storming out to play through the broken dike. And as elephants parade, holding each other's tail. But if one wanders, the circus won't find the park. I call it cruel. And maybe the root of all cruelty, to know what occurs, but not recognize the fact. And so I appeal to a voice, to something shadowy, a remote, important region in all who talk. Though we could fool each other, we should consider, lest the parade of our mutual life get lost in the dark. For it is important that awake people be awake, or a breaking line may discourage them back to sleep. The signals we give, yes, no, or maybe, should be clear. The darkness around us is deep. Right? The darkness around us is deep. Awake people need to be awake. We undertake this practice to awaken, right? And not so much that that's this destination over there, the land of awakening, which would be nice, but I don't think it works that way, but more in this moment. What can we do in this moment to stay awake and sort of offering? Listening is one of those practices that allow us to awake. Many of us may wake up to an alarm in the morning. Something wakes us up, right? When Carlita rang the bell, oh, okay. And it's interesting. I think it's Matthew Brentzel was speaking about this, what happens when the bell rings, whether it's like, okay, I'm done. Like meditation's over, and then we go back to whatever it is. And it's something to play with when we're sitting. We can play with this next week, of just what that moment of when the bell rings, is there a release or not? And again, it's sort of, does it wake us up, or is it more like, okay, now I can go back to my regular busy mind or whatever? But just where and what are the things that allow us to become awake in that sense? And I'm equating being awake with just this ability to listen, which I'm using almost synonymously with this idea of being aware, of being mindful, of paying attention. How do we pay attention? There are many ways. It's not just the doorway of sound through our ears, but just how does the body listen? We're wired, right, to resonate with humans by attuning, to attune. As parents can attune to their kids or not. What happens when that happens? What happens when it doesn't happen? How do we cultivate the skill? Again, to attune to ourselves, and offering that these practices, through different meditation tools, really offer us this opportunity to be able to listen. Another poem. This one's untitled. The title is untitled by Gregory Orr. This is what was bequeathed us, this earth the beloved left and leaving left to us, no other world but this one. Willows and the river and the factory with its black smokestacks, no other shore, only this bank on which the living gather. No meaning but what we find here, no purpose but what we make. That, and the beloved's clear instructions, turn me into song, sing me awake. No other shore, only this bank, right? It's this life, this precious life. Mary Oliver, what will we do with this precious life? Are we living just a little and calling it a life? No other shore, only this bank on which the living gather. No meaning but what we find here, no purpose but what we make. That, in the beloved's clear instructions, turn me into song, sing me awake. So I'm going to ask you to kind of footnote the refrain of that. I'm going to read another poem and then we'll move into a guided exercise. This is called The Second Music by Annie Lightheart. Now I understand that there are two melodies playing, one below the other, one easier to hear, the other lower, steady, perhaps more faithful for being less heard, yet always present. When all other things seem lively and real, this one fades, yet the notes of it touch as gently as fingertips, as the sound of the names laid over each child at birth. I want to stay in that music without striving or cover. If the truth of our lives is what is playing, the telling is so soft that this mortal time, this irrevocable change becomes beautiful. I stop and stop again to hear the second music. I hear the children in the yard, a train, then birds. All this is in it and will be gone. I set my ear to it as I would to a heart. And this idea of the second music, and I want to couple that image and whatever comes to you, it's going to be one of those poems of like, I'm not sure I really understand it, but it makes sense or it resonates, which is what's so fun about poetry sometimes. But this notion or the image of the second music, the second layer of sound, of again, this notion of the musicality of our lives, coupled with, make sure I have it. Two melodies that play, one below the other, one easier to hear, the other one lower, steady. It's like a through line, the through song. Coupling that image with this notion of turn my life into a song to sing me awake. And how can we listen for that particular song that is our life? So I ask you to close your eyes. And just check in for the body. And I'm going to start, it's going to seem like a bit of a non sequitur, but just in this beginning part right here, to consider what have been, and this is literally songs in your life that have been some of your favorite songs, either that you listened to a kid or as a teenager or in the various decades of your life, some favorite songs. If you were to make my favorite song playlist, which some of you I'm sure have, just in this moment, what would be some of those songs? And kind of letting casting a wide net of songs as you open this door to the memories of different songs that have touched your life, to our songs that delighted you, that still delight you, that moved your heart, that expressed something that you didn't even know you wanted to express, but you could resonate with it. Songs that you dance to, songs that make you cry. And just to notice what happens when you allow, if it works, these different melodies to move through you. Like, oh yeah, that song from the 60s or the 70s or the 80s, 90s, the aughts, the teens. And again, casting that wet net wide. What are some of your favorite songs? And what happens to you, to the body, to the heart, when you kind of allow, when you, in the memory, press play, so to speak? There can be something so deeply evocative of, much like smell, can put you right back in a place. For me, I know I'll hear a song sometimes, I'm like, oh my God, I'm 19 years old, you know, somewhere on a beach or wherever. And this sort of first invitation of listening to the songs of your life, of that playlist, so to speak. The different places you live, different decades of your life, different relationships you've been in, are there different songs? I was definitely one of those teenagers that back in the old days made mixtapes, you know, to give to friends and boyfriends. What's on that mixtape? And I'm intentionally letting this, giving this some time to see what may come up in terms of the different rhythms, the different songs. For the different times in our lives, the different seasons have different soundtracks. Yeah. And staying available to feel what may be these waves of music, waves of memory, some good, some bad, some beautiful, some hard. And there may be a sense of like, I don't even like music. Okay. So noticing that, right? There's aversion. Okay. And then when you're ready to sort of metaphorically press pause or stop on this exploration of the literal songs that have been meaningful to you in your life, and next to see if we can kind of explore this notion of the second song that's lower, that's steadier, that's constant. And what might that be? What might be the rhythms of this song, the notes of which might be these different heart qualities that sustain you, that embolden you, be heart qualities like joy and equanimity, truthfulness, patience, wisdom, bravery, courage, resilience, laughter, humor, delight, ease, compassion. To see what it's like to play in this realm of, if you were to write a score, so to speak, and the different notes represent these different heart qualities that comprise the essence of you, your heart. Lion-hearted, brave-hearted, compassionate, joyful, funny, wise, kind, friendly, whatever. Yeah. And again, allow the net to be wide, cast wide. And I am by no means a songwriter, with this image, audio image perhaps, if that's such a thing, of what would be the second song that sings the song of your life when you stand in your essence, when you allow yourself to embody your heart qualities. Those that are aspirational, those that are embodied, those that sometimes are cloaked and hidden. As we sit together to allow yourself to drop into what are those essential qualities that are expressions of my heart in this lifetime. To give yourself permission to bridge that which may be aspirational, to actually be present, yet at times obscured. It's already here. These qualities are already here. These notes are already playing. Can we listen? Can we let ourselves hear the song of our lives? So I think I'll stop there. Maybe just take one more moment or two to check in, see what came. These different notes, the song of your heart. Giving yourself permission to listen to it and listen for it. Yeah. So thank you so much for your kind attention and coming with me.
Thank you for listening. To learn how you can support the teachers and Dharma Seed, please visit dharmaseed.org/donate.